This is Marathon Training Academy, Episode 70.
This podcast is brought to you by Drury Hotels, where the extras are not extra. They have 130 locations in 20 states. Next time you travel, stay the night at the Drury. Better yet, stay two nights. Use the promo code MTA and get our special Marathoner discount. Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we recap the Screaming Pumpkin Marathon in Peoria, Illinois. Plus, we tell you about other marathons around the U.S. with a fun and interesting theme. And for this episode's quick tip, Angie shares Christmas gift ideas for runners. And if you're training for your first marathon or half marathon, find out how to become a member of the Academy by visiting marathontrainingacademy.com. So, Angie, how was yoga today? Were you still sore from the last time you did yoga or what?
I was a little bit, yeah. So, obviously, I need to work on those areas more.
And we have a marathon coming up in a couple days in Tulsa. So, how are you feeling about that?
I think good. I need to look at the weather forecast to see what it's going to be like so I can pack the appropriate clothes. Because at our last marathon that we're going to talk about today, I ended up being cold, which is a little bit unusual for me. So this time I will not be caught unprepared.
So on this episode, we're going to talk about the Screaming Pumpkin Marathon, which we ran in the end of October. And we wanted to get this done sooner, but we had family come out and visit and things got really busy. We kind of thought about just tabling this episode and going on with an interview that we have planned. But you just decided that this is going to make a good episode and we need to do it and record something. So I think we made the right choice.
I heard from several people like, when is your race recap coming out? And I know that there were a couple people who actually ran the marathon that would like to hear our thoughts on it and everything. And we actually also met up with a podcast listener there.
That's right. Ashish is his name. And he came down from Chicago and he was running the 10K. And we were standing in line and he comes up to me, he's like, would you happen to be Trevor and Angie from the Marathon Training Academy podcast? I'm like, yes. So that was really neat getting to meet him. And if you want to see a photo of the three of us at the Screaming Pumpkin Marathon, head over our website where along with the show notes to this episode, there'll be photos from that day. And you'll see what our medals look like too.
That's right.
All right, so before we get into our world famous recap, you have a couple emails you want to read.
Yes, I do. The first one says, hey, MTA, just dropping you a line since my cousin emailed you recently. I thought since he put me on to you guys, I'd email too and give thanks for the top quality podcasting, which has helped foster my love for the run, both long and short. Running has given me more than I could ever have hoped for. Some excellent friends, a great base for a healthy lifestyle, and recently it helped me cross the milestone of losing 100 pounds.
Awesome.
Having run for 2 years, I've been able to knock off 10 minutes from my 10K time and 7 minutes from my half marathon time within the last 5 months. I also decided that now was the ideal opportunity to attempt a marathon. I've been lucky enough to attain a place for my first marathon, the Virgin London Marathon in April of 2013. I cannot wait to try my hand at racing a whole marathon, having already conquered a couple of 20-milers in training for various half marathons. In reality, I would like to run further and hope to take on an ultra later in 2013. So good wishes from sunny Scotland, and that comes from MJ.
I'm sure he's being facetious about the sunny part, right?
I don't know. I'm sure they get a little bit of sun there. Maybe it was sunny the day that he emailed.
Anyway, that's great, MJ. I'm glad to hear about your progress, losing 100 pounds, getting faster and faster, and your plans to run a marathon, a full marathon next year. That's exciting.
And that'll be a great marathon to do. Definitely one of the top 5 marathons in the world. The second email says, Angie and Trevor, I wanted to thank you for your inspiration and share my story with you. For the last 6 years, I've been a type 2 diabetic and have also gained weight. I was up to 285 pounds at one time. My wife and I decided to change to a plant-based diet, and I started to lose weight. I promised myself I would try to take up running again once I got to 225 pounds. Well, I couldn't wait that long. In April, I started to run. First, it was a 1-minute run and a 1-minute walk on a treadmill. 3 weeks later, I did a 5K in 35 minutes and 38 seconds. I managed to run the whole way, and that was my first outside run. 4 weeks later, I managed to run a 4.4-mile race. I was elated at what I had accomplished in a short time, but knew that I had only begun. I had run very hard to make those times, but I used those goals to keep me moving. I needed something more and for the long term. I discovered your podcast at that point and set a goal of a half marathon this year. This past weekend, I did my half marathon, the Blue Mountain Beach Half Marathon in Florida. Setting this goal and listening to your podcast got me to the starting line. You and the stories of your listeners gave me inspiration. I also learned about proper hydration and fueling during the race. Sure, I still made some mistakes, but as I now say, instead of watching life pass by, I am participating. Sometimes things happen or mistakes are made, lessons are learned, and I move forward. Running up the hill to the finish over the last 0.2 mile, I had the biggest smile on my face. While my finishing time of 2 hours and 27 minutes won't win races, I am still a winner. I no longer take insulin or medication for diabetes. My morning blood sugar is in the normal range. My weight has dropped 50-plus pounds, and I continue to lose. I know that part of my success belongs to MTA, and I am grateful. I am already looking towards new goals to keep me motivated and training. Another half in late January and maybe the Nashville Rock and Roll Marathon in April of 2013. Thank you, MTA. And that comes from Jim in Florida.
Wow, another encouraging email about someone who is just taking back their health.
I like how he says that he's not just letting life pass him by anymore. He's actually participating in it.
Yes. That's what we're all about, too. I mean, life is too short just to be sick and tired all the time, don't you think?
That's right.
Well, congratulations to Jim and MJ. Thank you for writing us. And we just want to encourage everyone out there to keep taking action to change your life and take back your health and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way. Now we want to recap the Screaming Pumpkin Marathon in Peoria, Illinois. What a great name for a race, huh? Screaming Pumpkin.
It was just fun to say, like tell people what race we were going to be doing.
I enjoyed telling coworkers that you and I pay like $130 each to run around a cemetery for 5 hours in the cold.
In the dark.
They look at me like, okay.
When I was looking for an October marathon to run, it was kind of hard to find something that fit into our schedule, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And then I knew that I also wanted something just a little bit unique.
And close by.
So, you know, when we found the Screaming Pumpkin Marathon at the end of October, it really fit the bill on all those counts. And I know it's definitely one that we'll probably both remember for a long time.
So tell them what the ground rules were for this race. It was not a normal marathon.
No, it wasn't. This was a prediction marathon, and the goal was to finish as close to midnight as possible. So your starting time depended on your projected finishing time. There were also no GPS devices or watches allowed on the course, and cell phones were for emergency use only. And if they caught you having a watch or, you know, looking at your phone, then supposedly a 15-minute time penalty would be added to your time.
Right.
I don't realize how much I am time-driven when I run, mm-hmm. but just not even being able to glance at your wrist and figure out how far you've gone and, you know, how much time you've been out there, what time it is, it really kind of throws off your sense of distance and then adding the factor of the dark in there, too. It's really hard to judge how long you've been out there, how far you've gone, things like that when it's dark.
Yes, and there's no mile markers.
Exactly.
So if you finish before midnight, you get a tiara, and if you finished after midnight, you got a pumpkin.
That's right.
Kind of the Cinderella thing, I guess. Angie and I finished at, what was it, like 12:30?
Yes.
They were closing down the course. I really slowed her down. We ran together. What did we finish in, like 5 hours and 8 minutes?
5 hours and 7 minutes, yeah.
Probably not your fastest marathon.
No, it was not.
And it was my second marathon that I've ever done. My first one was last year in St. Louis, so I kind of wasn't ready, and I figured, well, I'd run probably the first half of it and then kind of run, walk.
I think you only got up to a 16-mile long run in your training, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did really well, you know, just with the amount of training that you had and the challenge of the course and everything, too. It was actually held in the Springfield Cemetery in Peoria, which is one of the oldest and largest in the country. Apparently, there are 78,000 people buried there, and the entire cemetery is around 230 acres. So the course was on the roads through the cemetery. It was a 6.55 mile loop, and it was advertised as one of the hilliest and darkest courses in the country, which I would say it fit the bill pretty well.
Yeah, you're right. It was hilly, it was dark, and there were stretches where we didn't see any other people. And they had the course really well marked with these, what are they, like glow sticks inside plastic bags?
Mm-hmm.
And both sides of the road were lined with them. But the thing about it was the road would kind of like branch off, and it would go to the right and the left. And there were several places where it would tee off like that. And I would have been totally lost and confused if this wasn't for this one piece of information that you had, that you got from reading the website, which always goes to show you, like, read over the website and get as much knowledge as you can about the course beforehand. Because this one critical piece of information kept us from wandering around aimlessly in the cemetery. So go ahead and tell them what that piece of information was.
Well, it said that if you have the choice of a turn, always make a right turn.
Yes.
And there were times in the course where the road had two-way traffic. And so, like Trevor said, although it was well marked, it wasn't like, you know, showing you exactly where to go.
There's no arrow, there's no sign, there's no race volunteers like saying that way.
Exactly. You just kind of had to, you know. And so the first time around the loop, we were guessing, you know, kind of second guessing ourselves. Have we come this way? But we just kind of kept making right turns, and it ended up getting us back to the starting line again. And then the second time and the subsequent times, we were more comfortable with the course. But yeah, I would have been totally turned around if I hadn't remembered reading that, because as Trevor knows, I'm notoriously bad with directions. And in the dark, it just totally throws, you know, even your memory of where you've been off as well. So
what did you think about the overall vibe that the race had?
I think it was definitely a fun vibe. I think most people were running it more for fun, kind of like we were. They weren't trying to win the race or qualify for Boston or whatever. It was more of a laid back, you know, let's do this for the experience type of thing.
It wasn't even a qualifier anyway.
I don't think so. I don't really see how it could have been. And there were many people in costumes. In fact, for a lot of the relay participants, the members of the teams would often dress in coordinating costumes.
Right.
And so we saw some pretty unique and extravagant costumes out there. It was kind of fun.
It looked like there was this dad and his son, and they were dressed up as Batman and Robin. And it looks like they were running the marathon. This kid was probably like 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It was kind of hard to know who was doing what, since it was a loop, you know, and you kind of would see people, so you weren't sure if they were doing the relay or if they were doing the full thing. And there was also a 10K, so it was kind of a unique event.
And we didn't dress up in costumes. Angie had her Marathon Maniac shirt, which is kind of ghoulish already, so we figured that'd be good. And I had a yellow long sleeve shirt, so we were kind of the running yellow couple.
I'm scary enough as it is when I'm running. So.
I don't agree with that. I don't think you're scary when you run.
Thank you. One mistake we made was that we didn't arrive at the race very early. They were offering pre-race check-in and, you know, pick up your gear and get your race number and everything. And so we figured a small race, it shouldn't take us much time. And we showed up, and there was this long line after we finally figured out which line to get in. And the line just didn't move. And, you know, people are starting to murmur and get frustrated. And finally we find out after at least a half an hour that they're trying to check people in on these computers. And the computers were down or going offline.
Yes, it made me long for the organization of the rock and roll marathons, where they have a big box with files in it. Your name is written on a file. You tell them your name, they pull out your packet, and they give it to you.
Yes.
I mean, computers are great, but man, when they're not working right, all hell breaks loose.
And that's what happened. Plus, they had this music, this Halloween theme music over the loudspeakers, which was very, very loud.
Yes.
And they had this one song on repeat. And we were in this line for over an hour, and this song kept playing and playing.
And I'll actually play you the song. It's the Dracula theme. Here's what it sounds like. Anyway, the song is like 9 minutes long. As Angie said, it was just on loop, and it kept repeating over and over, and probably for like 30 minutes. Don't you think? And there,
at least.
There's actually a live band there, and you can see all the band members, and once in a while, you know, they do a little rim shot on the drums. I'm like, let these guys play. The race directors and the organizers were all busy, you know, scurrying about doing other things, and no one bothered to go by and reset the playlist. And we're like looking around at other people in line, and they look just as unnerved as we feel, and there's just murder in people's eyes, you know. When it finally ended, like an AC/DC song came on. I don't think I've ever been so happy to hear an AC/DC song.
Like, finally relief, sort of.
Yes, heavy metal. So as we're in this line, we're looking at our watches, and we're like, man, you know, we're cutting really close to our starting time, because we were going to get our packet and then, you know, have like an hour before we were going to start. We were going to go get a coffee, had all these plans. Well, even the best laid plans can fail epically.
Apparently ours weren't laid too well.
So we're standing in line. There's this lady who is probably a volunteer, and she's a real sweet lady, and I just really felt bad because I'm sure everybody is like really hating on her, and she can't help it. You know, the computers are crashing. She has her own laptop out and is trying to register runners through it, but it's taking like 15 or 20 minutes per person. I don't know if she has an air card or something, and her computer's really slow, and then she just disappears.
I would have too, much sooner.
And this guy comes and he's like, all right, everybody, get in two lines. Let's organize two lines. And I'm like, finally, okay, great. This is some organization here. Some leadership has shown up. So we get into two lines, and then neither line goes anywhere. So we keep waiting and waiting, and the line keeps getting longer. Like, there's probably 100 people or more. And it just keeps growing. And then finally, like, the two lines merged into one line, and we're back how we were. No one is saying anything. There's no, you know, there's no race organizers around. Finally, this lady comes back who's supposed to be getting us registered and checked in, and she just has a legal pad. She goes, here, write your name down, take a bib, write the number down, just we'll get it all figured out, and please try to write legibly. You know, and they did figure it out because our results are posted online, so they I guess the system worked finally, but I felt really bad. You know, I can't imagine organizing a race like that anyway, and there's so many moving parts, and then something like that happens, you know, computers crash, just something unforeseen. And man, you talk about stressful. I'm glad other people do it.
Yes.
Not us.
Exactly. And, you know, you don't really appreciate it necessarily when it all goes smoothly, but when mm-hmm. it doesn't go smoothly, then, you know, people really start to
yeah.
to get grouchy and everything.
There's this guy that walks up to the front of the line after we had waited there for about 45 minutes. We were near the front. And the guy's like, is this the line for the packet pickup? Like, yep. He's like, what if you're already registered? Well, this is still the line. We're already registered, too. We're just trying to get our packets. He's like, well, what if I got to start in 10 minutes? I was like, I know. We got to start, too, really soon. He's like, all right. So then he disappears. And then he, like, cuts in the front. He just pushes his way to the front of the table. And these poor ladies, these volunteers are up there. And they don't tell him to go to the back. They're, like, you know, working with the guy. And meanwhile, like, all the runners around us are calling this guy names that will not be repeated on this podcast.
And he looks back and he's like, well, I'm from Kansas.
Yeah, I had to drive a long ways. One guy's like, I don't care where you're from. And that was the hardest part of the race.
Yeah, it was.
Like, staying alive. It was like a part of the endurance challenge.
When you don't feel like you're in action and you're just, you know, stuck in this holding zone that you have no idea when you're going to get out of it. It was frustrating. We got up to the front, and there was some ladies there who were doing the relay,
mm-hmm.
and she had been standing there for at least a couple hours, and people kept budging in front of her, and she wasn't assertive enough
yeah.
to just get in there and say, hey, I've been waiting, you know, 2 hours. I need to get...
It was really weird. This lady was in tears, and people just kept budging right in front of her, and yeah, she wasn't like, hey, it's my turn! And the volunteer lady who was like getting everybody's shirts and packets and stuff didn't speak good English, and this lady could not communicate with her, and people kept like just shouting out their sizes, like their t-shirt sizes, to this woman. People that are standing halfway in the line are shouting out their sizes, and she's like trying to throw shirts to people, and there's other volunteers who were like rummaging through piles of shirts. It's like all of the shirts had become jumbled up into one pile, and they're like rummaging through looking for the people's right sizes. People that pre-registered were not getting the right sizes because people who came that same day and paid right then and there at the race were taking up all the shirts that had been ordered. This lady's like, I've been standing here for 2 hours. She says, I just need 6 medium shirts. Is that so much to ask? And she's like in tears. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Here, go ahead. And I made sure that, you know, they were helped her before they helped me. And I'm reaching and I'm getting like glow sticks and the swag bag and everything for her.
In defense, the swag was really, really good. I mean, that was kind of one of the things the race was known for. Mm-hmm. And each participant got a long sleeve tech shirt and a jacket in this neon orange, nice reflective jacket and a beanie. And then finishers got a nice medal. And those who did the marathon got a belt buckle. And of course, then, you know, depending whether you finished before or after midnight, depended whether you got the tiara and wand or the pumpkin.
Yeah.
So, you know, once we got our swag and everything, it was like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, the jackets are nice. Of course, you pay for it with the registration.
Well, I think those jackets are fairly expensive, so.
Maybe buying them such a great quantity gets the price down mm-hmm. for every person.
But they definitely, you know, had quality stuff, so. That was one really nice thing, because sometimes smaller marathons, you know, they don't put as much into the swag. You know, you may just get kind of a random cotton t-shirt. It just kind of depends. And mm-hmm. so that was definitely something that they excelled at.
Yes.
I'm sure next year they'll probably have a different system in place. You know, maybe not allow people to do packet pickups so close to the race. Maybe not allow race day registration. Something to move the organization along a little bit better.
I mean, we could have been signed up for the New York City Marathon.
Yeah, that would have been really rough. And then get into the city and have it canceled. Yeah. And
the race will continue. It will go on as planned. And then 2 days before the race, never mind.
Reality has set in.
So, yeah, what do we have to complain about?
Nothing really. And once we got out on the course, like you said, it was fun, you know, especially the first loop. It was like figuring out where we needed to go. And so you always have a lot of excitement and adrenaline. And, you know, the second loop was good. The third loop, you were starting to slow down and I was starting to get cold.
Yes.
And all the walk breaks that you wanted to take, I was losing all my body heat. So I was like, oh, we've either got to start running again or I'm going to freeze here in place.
I know, I wasn't feeling better to take walk breaks anyway.
No, it wasn't.
Just in my mind, just your mind tells you that it will be better if you walk.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel any better physiologically. Yeah. Well, thankfully, I was able to run back to the car on one of the loops and grab your jacket and put some fresh batteries in my headlamp.
Yes, I don't think I would have survived the last lap with you if I hadn't had that jacket.
She'd have been like, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya.
I'd be like, I'm going to be a popsicle by the time this is over.
Well, after the second lap, I'm like, oh, man, we got to do 2 more. Oh, and the third lap, and then I'm thinking, at least there's only 1 more. And you think to yourself, it's only 6.5 miles. I do that on a smaller training run, so how many times have I done that? You know, dozens and dozens of times. So just do it 1 more time.
It does help to break the race up, even if it's really not done for you, and kind of run each part and not think about every single mile in the future. Just kind of attack a section at a time so that you don't get overwhelmed and discouraged, you know, there in the middle of it. So we were really glad that we had done the course together because of, you know, it's pretty lonely out there. Sometimes not seeing any other runners and it being in the dark and everything, and just kind of helped to talk to each other and pass
yes.
the time. But it was really neat. I'd never run that far at night before in the dark. And so it was just a whole new feeling. You know, the moon came out. You could see stars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was really enjoyable, other than me being cold and a few minor details like that. It was a lot of fun.
So if we can go over some takeaways from this marathon, what are some things that we could share, like lessons learned?
Well, I think it's important that you are prepared with the right gear. The race website recommended that you have a headlamp or some kind of light. I was really glad that we did and were prepared with that. It's also important to take the weather into consideration. And sometimes it can be hard to know how to dress because, you know, you may start out and be cold, but then you warm up. But at a night race, you know, you may start warm and then get cold later. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dress in layers, maybe have a jacket that you can take on and off and tie around your waist. You know, have a thin pair of gloves to tuck in your pocket.
Yeah, we had to stop at the dollar store and buy a pair of gloves because we forgot ours.
Yeah, before the race. And so it's important to be prepared because if you're having to worry about things like being cold, it can really add more discomfort to a marathon than you need to be having. So, and also, you know, make sure that you read carefully all the details on the race website. Read about the course. So if you know that it may not be well marked and when to turn and what direction direction and all those kind of things. You know, even though I've done lots of marathons, you know, it doesn't mean that I need to just show up unprepared.
Right.
And I can't always say that I'm perfectly prepared. But I think each race that a person does helps them gain more perspective and prepares them for the future. You know, I'm sure there'll be things that I'll take away from that marathon and be able to apply in the future and everything too. And we also kind of were talking about how it wasn't the best race for like a first-time marathoner.
Yes.
Just because of the lack of support and organization on the course. And, you know, there weren't really any spectators. And it was kind of lonely being out there. I really felt sorry for some of the people who were running it alone, as a matter of fact, just because, you know, you're really in the dark, alone, out there. It would have been just kind of an isolating feeling.
I was thinking about that, too. Like, would I even have the willpower to do this by myself? Like, what am I doing this for?
I noticed there were a lot of people who were wearing Marathon Maniac shirts, too, so I think after you've done a lot of marathons, you know, sometimes you look at more unique ones for the experience of it.
Right.
Plus the fact that it was on a Friday night, I'm sure some people would probably be doing maybe a Sunday marathon as well to kind of do back-to-back races. So that was probably a factor. Like Trevor said, we finished after midnight, and by the time we were kind of finishing up, they were starting to pack up certain things and put them away, and there wasn't really the greatest spread of food at the finishing line. So we fortunately had our recovery drink with us and were able to have that. And then we had to drive an hour back to the hotel that we were staying at. So, of course, being tired and finally getting warm in the car, it was a little bit difficult to... Well, it was difficult for me to stay awake, and I wasn't even driving.
It was hard for me to stay awake because another thing is we had skipped dinner.
Yes.
We didn't want to run like on a full bloated stomach. We had a good lunch, but nothing too heavy or greasy. And then after the race, there was some chili. My stomach wasn't really prepared to eat anything. So normally I would go for it, but...
By the time we got back to the hotel room, we were both so exhausted. We didn't even shower. We just went right to bed.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time I haven't gotten a shower within at least a few, you know, a couple hours.
But it ended up being a fun weekend because we brought our kids, and Angie's mom went with us to watch the kids while we raced, and we stayed at a very nice Drury Hotel in Springfield, Illinois, and we... were able to go to the Abraham Lincoln House in Springfield. He served in the Congress before becoming president and had a law practice there. It ended up being a fun weekend for everyone.
Yes, it was. It was good.
And we thought also, while we're talking about this race, maybe to mention some other themed marathons around the United States that are kind of known for the vibe, for being a lot of fun. So Angie has composed a list of themed marathons she's going to go over.
And this is certainly by no means a comprehensive list, because I know there's tons of different ones out there, and I was just kind of picking a few of them to talk about. And there's also a variety of shorter themed races, so if you're not quite to the marathon distance yet, you can go over to active.com and you can put in your zip code and it'll give you a list of races in your area. And, you know, we're coming up on the holidays here. Most locations have a turkey trot and some kind of Christmas-themed run that can be fun to participate in. And it can be a nice as a change of pace during the holiday time when sometimes it's easy to maybe slack off a little bit with the running or exercising because it's cold. And, you know, most of us find that we're either eating too much or eating the wrong things. And
I'm guilty of those on both of those accounts.
So it can be great to sign up for a race around the holiday time and just try to stay as active as possible and stay motivated and burn off some of those calories. And of course, now not all themed marathons are good for first-time marathoners. So you can check out reviews on marathonguide.com just to see what the course is like and what kind of support they offer. And you'll probably get a good idea of what the race has been like in previous years just from reading reviews. And you can also go to the official race website to read frequently asked questions and just to make the right decision about the marathon. Because there have been some people, you know, who've run a first-time marathon and maybe there's only 200 or 300 participants and it can get kind of lonely and be a little bit demoralizing if, you know, you take a wrong turn because there's not enough support out there or... You know, the aid stations aren't really up to par, so just try to, you know, go into it with your eyes wide open and make a good decision as far as a race goes.
Good advice. So the first one is the Walt Disney World Marathon in Florida, and it's usually in January, right?
Yes, it is. Now, this is one that's good for first-timers because it kind of has the whole Disney World theme. All the characters are out there, a lot of support.
It's a pretty big race.
It's a big race. And if you're a veteran, you can take on the Goofy Challenge, which you run a half marathon one day and then the full marathon the next day. So this one, you know, appeals to all levels of marathoners just because of the variety that they offer.
They should also, like, incorporate another challenge where you stand in long lines in order to ride rides.
I think they do, actually, because if you bring your kids with you, you'll be doing that anyway. I'm not sure if it would be good to do the park before the marathon and stand all day, you know, and get your legs tired, or afterwards, you know, when your legs are toasted from running that much.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Maybe it would actually help your recovery, you know, afterwards if you kept moving around. And who knows, maybe they offer, like, wheelchairs for marathoners.
We plan on taking our kids to Disney World when they get a little older, when they're old enough to remember it. Well, primarily Angie wants to go because her parents never took her to Disneyland when she was a girl.
Yes, they promised to take me when I was old enough to appreciate it, and apparently that never came.
She's still bitter over that, but...
I'm in therapy.
I'll take you down to Disneyland one of these days, Angie. Well, another one is called the End of the World Marathon and the Day After the End of the World Marathon. And these are in Texas in the month of December. What are these races like?
Well, it really looks like an interesting event. You run two marathons in 2 days, and it doesn't have much for course entertainment or spectators, but it's really well organized. The race is directed and founded by Steve and Paula Boone, who are the founders of the 50 State Club. And they actually put on a lot of races in Texas. And everything I've read says that they know how to put on a race. I think between the two of them, they've run over 800 marathons.
Wow.
And so I'm sure they know just the ins and outs and what people like and don't like. And they know how to do a good race. So this race, you know, two marathons in 2 days is great for marathon maniacs, you know, looking to do back-to-back marathons, and just anyone who's up for a major challenge. And the races are in December, so, you know, that would be a great way to not lose out on your fitness over the winter.
So why is it called the End of the World Marathon?
I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere in Texas that looks like the end of the world.
Or is it on December 31st where...
No, they actually have another race. They have the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day marathons.
Oh, okay.
Kind of in the same area in Texas, put on by the Boones as well. And so you run the first one on the 31st of December and the second one on January 1st. So.
Well, that's a good way to usher out the old year and in the new.
I think so. Yeah, that would be great.
And then there's the Mississippi Blues Marathon in January. Wait, you have all these in order of the months, don't you?
Well, not completely, but...
Okay. Well, in January, the Mississippi Blues Marathon's in Jackson, Mississippi, and I'm actually looking at this one thinking we might could do it. So what makes this one unique?
Well, they kind of take the whole blues music theme, and so they have some cool swag. I believe you get a... blues CD and a harmonica for participating in the race, and they also have blues music along the course. So it's good for a first-time marathoner, just because they have fairly good course support and entertainment.
Another race with a theme is the Groundhog Day Marathon in Michigan.
This one is in February on Groundhog's Day, and they actually have a loop course where you go around 6 times. So kind of like the movie Groundhog Day, where he keeps having the same, you know, repeated the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's a smaller race as well. And, you know, it may not be the best one for a first-time marathoner, unless you like the familiarity of going around the same thing over and over.
That'd be cool if the medal was like Bill Murray's head.
I think it's probably like a groundhog or something.
Oh, that would be cool, too.
What is it? Punxsutawney Phil or something like that?
Well, that's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
There's many groundhog celebrities, in case you didn't know.
Oh, I didn't.
Okay, another themed race is called the 26.2 with Donna, and that is in Florida in February. And it sounds like this is a big marathon, and it's popular for people who are raising money for breast cancer awareness.
Yes, a lot of people also run it in memory of people who have been lost to breast cancer or in honor of somebody who's currently struggling with breast cancer. So,
awesome.
Trevor's excited about this next one. It's the New Orleans Mardi Gras Marathon in Louisiana on February.
Yes, I'm signed up for it. I love New Orleans. The food is fantastic. And you were able to run this marathon last year. So obviously it's got a Mardi Gras theme. I like the finishing medals because they have like the Mardi Gras beads instead of just, you know, the regular ribbon that medals hang on. This is part of the Rock and Roll series, so it's a big race, lots of people, big expo. And Mardi Gras is actually in February, about 2 weeks before this race. And I've never been to Mardi Gras. Don't know really what they do besides get smashing drunk, right? But it was pretty neat that there's beads all over the trees and the power lines. And I understand that it always looks like that. There's always beads hanging. But I think there was like even more than usual. My cousin was telling me, who lives down there, because they had just recently had Mardi Gras. So the vibe of Mardi Gras was still in the air when we were down there for this race.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Another themed race is Little Rock, which we've also run. And it's in March, and they choose a big theme every year. The year we ran it, it was a Greek theme. In 2013, it's going to be, what, a Western theme?
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat, where they have kind of a different theme every year.
Yeah, they really go big with their theme.
And their medals.
And their medals. Medals, you have to do neck exercises to support them if you plan on wearing it around.
Yeah.
You're big and heavy and really fun. And the marathon also generates a lot of support in the community, and it's well-organized. They also have some interesting aid stations along the course with different food items. And near the end, they have a lipstick station, I guess, to make you look better in your finishing line photo.
And then there's a country music marathon in Nashville, Tennessee, which I'm sure you can guess what the theme is.
Yes, I think it's actually now called like the Rock and Roll Nashville Marathon, but they have a country theme, lots of country music. They usually have a big concert afterward.
That is way too confusing. It's the Rock and Roll Country music. I know some country sounds like rock and roll these days, but...
Well, it's put on by the competitor group, which runs the Rock and Roll Marathon Series.
But they still have the country music theme.
Exactly.
And it's in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mecca of country music.
Yeah, and so a lot of times they'll have celebrities running it. I know this year Sheryl Crow ran the half marathon and...
Who's that? Sorry.
It's the famous singer.
Is she country?
No, not really.
Another themed race that we've done is the Kentucky Derby Marathon in Louisville, Kentucky. You get to run through Churchill Downs, right by the wagering windows, out onto like the middle of the racetrack. Yeah, it was really neat. So, and then the medal, of course, is in the shape of Pegasus, the flying horse. Well, at least the year that we went, it was.
Yeah, it's a good race, well organized, and you get to see a lot of neat historic areas of Louisville too.
Now, what about the Flying Pig Marathon in Cincinnati? What's the theme?
This one is in May, and it's billed as one of the most enjoyable marathons in the world. And it's kind of a pig theme, so there's a lot of people in pig costumes. And we've never run it, but it looks like a really fun race.
Yeah, we need to go to that one.
Looks like a good first-time marathon.
Right on. What else do you got?
Well, there's one in Michigan called Run Woodstock. That's in September, and it has kind of a hippie theme. So I think the medals are in the shape of a peace sign, and mm-hmm. You know, they kind of have that whole vibe going.
They have marijuana at the aid stations.
Ha, ha, ha. They also have one called Make It by Midnight in Georgia. This one's in July, and it's also a prediction race. And apparently it has some, you know, it's a low-cost race, has some really great swag, and kind of an enjoyable one in the middle of the summer in Georgia if you're into the heat.
Wow.
And finally, I found this one called the Leading Ladies Marathon in South Dakota. And I don't know how they get away with this, but it's all women. They just don't allow men in the race.
Well, that is not right.
I know. I'm surprised that men haven't protested, because if there was an all-men's marathon, I'm sure they would have had a lawsuit brought against them by now for not allowing women.
Well, the Boston Marathon was that way for years, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So, anyways.
Men's rights have been trampled on for centuries, you know, it continues to this day.
Apparently, this race, they're being trampled for 26.2 miles. But apparently, it's downhill, and they have a lot of, you know, great swag and just kind of fun women's themes. And so, that was one in the hills of South Dakota.
Well, great. Well, those are some themed races, and I'm sure there's many more. If you'd like to recommend a themed race that would go along well with this episode, visit us over on our website and leave a comment. We'd love to hear about what races you know of or what you've run. And also, if you want to see pictures of some of the swag that Angie and I got at the Screaming Pumpkin Marathon, our finishing medals and our 26.2 belt buckle medals and our nifty technical running coats that we have, there'll be pictures of that there as well. Now it's time for this episode's quick tip. And since Christmas is like a month and a half away, we want to talk about some gift ideas for runners.
That's right. If you're like me and have not finished all your Christmas shopping. You may be looking around for some ideas, maybe for either yourself.
I won't finish till like December 24th.
Right, so take note here. So I threw together a list of what I thought would be some good gift ideas. Some of them would be more applicable to a new runner. Some of them are more for veterans. And there's a variety of different prices in these items, too, so it kind of depends on what your budget is and how much you love the recipient. But the first recommendation is a road ID, and you can go to their website, roadid.com, and they have a variety of different identifications that is essential for every runner to wear. I think your safety should not be underestimated, so give the gift of safety this Christmas.
Thank you, Safety Queen.
You're welcome. The second idea is the Injinji toe socks. Now, these are pretty cool. I mean, I was kind of skeptical about them at first, but they really have kind of grown on me. Even if you don't like the feel of something between your toes, once you start running, you don't notice them. And it's really prevented me from getting any blisters in my toe area. They're very comfortable socks, a little bit pricey, so they'd make just a good gift. And they have these really cool ones that are like rainbow striped. It just, you know, would look really fun in a stocking or something like that. So that's my recommendation for some funky socks. The third idea is called the Spy Belt, and they have one called the Endurance. Spy stands for Small Personal Item Belt, and you can wear it during the race and stash all kinds of items in it, like your phone, gels, different things like that. They also have wristbands. They have kind of like a back pouch that you can get. So it can be a handy thing for a runner to have, especially if you don't like to pin your gels to your pants and things like that. If you're looking to spend more money, this fourth idea is the Garmin 10 GPS watch. And actually for a GPS watch, it's pretty reasonable. It's around $130. And it's a little bit, has a lower profile and more of a simple watch, you know, doesn't give you tons of metrics and confusing data. It pretty much deals with your distance, your time, your pace. I think there's a couple more things that you can program into it. But it's just a great, straightforward watch, you know, maybe for someone who's just really getting into running. We actually got this watch for my mom for her birthday. She celebrated her 60th birthday. And
we got her a new pair of running shoes.
That's right, because she is thinking about training for her first half marathon, so we're kind of help her on her way with that. The fifth idea, if you want to spend a little bit of money as well, is a hydration pack. I really like the Nathan Intensity Race Vest. That's specifically for women. It holds about 70 ounces. They also have one for men called the Nathan HPL. And they have really high reviews, very quality. If you are kind of getting to that zone where you can't carry enough water with you in your hands, and you don't want to make a loop by your house all the time, this can take your hydration to the next level. The sixth idea is getting a headlamp. Now, this is something that we just kind of invested in this year, and I'm seriously wondering how I got by without it before. I do a lot of morning running, and it can be dark in the morning, and you know, it just gives you an extra measure of safety and visibility, having a headlamp, as well as being able to see where you're going better. So a good brand is called Petzl. And you can find those on Amazon or I'm sure in running stores near you. The seventh idea is called earbuds. And these are great running earbuds that stay in your ears, stay put, waterproof.
They kind of like twist into your ear and like lock in there.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a trick getting them in, but once they get in, you know, you're not going to be fiddling with your earbuds constantly.
And they've worked for me, and I can never get earbuds to stay in my ear. They probably don't work for everybody. Like, I'm sure there's somebody out there who's like, hey!
I hate earbuds.
But, you know, I've found them to work.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a good workout earbud, check out earbuds. The next gift idea is called CEP compression socks. Compression socks are really great for recovery, especially to help return blood flow, help clear lactic acid out of your muscles, and decrease your recovery time. I also like to wear them during long-distance events. And the final item is called the Hydra Pouch. Now, it is a handheld water cup that you can use during races. It's refillable, and it has kind of a pinch spout on it. So instead of using disposable water cups, you can just fill this at the aid station. It kind of closes shut, and then you just pinch it to drink it so it doesn't spill. You carry it in your hand. And several races that are kind of trying to become more eco-friendly are going towards these Hydra Pouches. And it looks like a kind of a cool idea, you know, one of those stocking stuffers that a running enthusiast in your life just probably needs.
Wow, those are great ideas. Man, all those little things could be a quick tip on another episode. You realize that? You just gave away like 9 quick tips.
Hey, it's Christmas time.
We're in a generous mood. If you'd like more information on running and marathon training, visit us at marathontrainingacademy.com. And when you're there, you can download a free audio gift called The 7 Pillars of Successful Marathon Training. Thank you for listening to this episode. We want you to know that you do have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Battle,